If you want to reach into the station, you can give us a call at 753-2284. And again, on all social media platforms at Talking Pride in Facebook as well. All right, we have a great show ahead of us today. Of course, we'll give you a bit of the calendar, what's coming up with Worcester Pride and events in and around the Worcester community and the state for that matter. But actually, today's a very special day because we have in studio a guest who has been very active with Worcester Pride in teaming up on this public service campaign that was just unveiled, if you will, on Friday night. So Josh Croak is in studio with us. Joshua, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and come visiting us on Radio Pride.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to chatting about the campaign.
Well, I'll tell you, Friday night was a big night.
It was.
It was the annual Worcester Pride Farewell to February. And what we do every year at the Farewell to February is, of course, we unveil our theme for the year and our new logo for the year. But this was the first time that we actually used this venue to unveil this campaign. First of all, it is called?
The campaign's called Love Your Labels.
Excellent. Now, you originally had talked to Worcester Pride about this being our motto for the year. And I remember that meeting and I remember the discussions. And even at that point, we felt it was really something that was so important and bigger than something that we should have just had as a disposable motto for a year.
Right, and one of the things that's nice about the campaign is, and we'll talk about that as well, and I'm looking forward to, you know, the discussion, but is how this is meant to connect communities, multiple communities, and show the intersectionality between communities.
Let's talk about Love Your Labels. First of all, when did you even think of this? How give me the genesis of it, the origin. How
sure
did it come
thing.
To be?
So being a part of the Pride community for many years now, I think it's always kind of been percolating in the background of the importance of acknowledging labels and discussing labels and what that means. We had some great conversations with the Worcester Pride community as well as other people in the community about what labels mean to them. Some people have positive perceptions of what that is, and they take a lot of self-ownership and pride in their labels. And some people, because of history of labels being stereotyped and biased and used as oppressive and power-enforcing terms, are less comfortable identifying with labels. So this campaign is really about embracing labels by eliminating stereotypes and empowering individuals to self-identify and start wider-based discussion around equality.
Let's talk about that for a second, Josh, because actually there was the first mention of labels does make a lot of people, and maybe the older generation within the LGBTQI+ community, cringe a little bit, only because I think that we had spent so much time and energy over the years trying to shed the labels and stop people from labeling, from not being labeled, not, you know, running away from the label. And then you come along and here's Josh saying, oh, no, love your labels and let's do this. And everybody goes, no, I just spent, you know, 30 years in the LGBT community trying to teach people not to label me.
Right.
And now
right.
You want to come on and label me.
Well, and I think that that's the big differentiator of this campaign is we want to empower people to self-identify with their labels. And we are having, it's funny that the importance of labels in this campaign is really to eliminate the stereotypes ascribed to labels and acknowledge that labels are descriptors. They're words that describe people, but they don't define people's complex individuality. We want this campaign to really start the conversation about how labels affect and have historically segregated communities. Because, you know, when you say you are labeling me, that's an influence of power forced upon you by another individual.
Now, let's just talk a little bit so everybody understands what we're talking about. This is a campaign that is Josh Croak's brainchild, and he has teamed up with Worcester Pride to work on this campaign. And it is called Love Your Labels, and you can find it online right now at loveyourlabels.me.
That's right.
Okay. Don't go to .com. You'll get to a weird dress shop, by the way, right?
That's right,
so,
yes.
You know, we'll leave that alone for now. So it is loveyourlabels.me online, and there is a Facebook page and an Instagram. So the Instagram is at?
love.your.labels.
Now, it's important that we add the dot because, again, you'll be Instagramming, you know, it's something else. Somebody else has that Love Your Labels without the dots.
That's right.
All right.
That's
so you got to make sure love.your.labels.
Yep.
Just those two dots. Okay.
That's right.
And then on Facebook, where do we find you?
On Facebook, you can just search Love Your Labels, and we come up.
All right. And obviously, it will be, it's on radiopride.net. It's linked there, so just check the post on Love Your Labels and with Josh, and you'll be able to link over to both the Facebook page as well as the website. And the website's still in formation, so it's not, I mean, we're going to build it. Let's talk about that. Where is Love Your Labels going to go? We've got the premise, but I do want to return to the premise a little bit. But we only have so much time.
Right.
So where do you see the campaign moving to? What's the next 6 months to a year laid out? What do you think is going to happen?
The onset of this campaign is really about building our community and addressing and advocating for the conversation around labels and what that means. You know, in the root of this is really addressing and identifying bias, right? How factors influence our responses and how we have that little voice in the back of our head that, you know, tells us whether something's right or wrong, or you have these associations and opinions about things based on a variety of factors. And we want to address and talk about and discuss why we have those types of reactions, whether it's, you know, your background, your education, your own personal experiences. How do we identify our own subconscious or ready bias, and how do we create conversations, many of which are uncomfortable conversations that can lead to change? How do we get people to sit down in a room that think of themselves as very different individuals and find unifiers that we can talk to about equality-based action?
Well, one of the taglines I noticed on it was, this campaign is encouraging uncomfortable conversation that leads to change. Is that pretty safe? That's the tagline? Is that, I mean, you know, that's the cry to action here, is to get people engaged in conversation, regardless
that's
of how uncomfortable.
That's definitely an action statement. And one of the things that's really important within this campaign is understanding that a large majority of people do want to be educated or do want to understand where someone else is coming from in their experience. And one of the activities that this campaign is going to do is really talk to people about how to approach that type of a dialogue. You know, oftentimes, you know, many people that I've talked to have said, oh, well, you know, sometimes I don't like to talk about this subject because I feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing. And we want to create a safe space where it's okay to navigate through that. Where if you understand the intent of someone's actions.
Is it okay to say the wrong thing?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. If your intent is not to diminish, oppress, or hurt an individual, oftentimes people in the LGBT community, people who are trans, people who are representative of other underrepresented and minority groups, will encourage a conversation and appreciate that type of a dialogue if the intention is correct.
I can see where, and for people who aren't involved in the LGBT community, I can see where it can be very difficult to have a conversation, because even those of us in the LGBTQ community, plus community, sometimes aren't quite sure of certain terminology and labels that are out there. The older ones, or else older guys are, because, you know, we've added on to the LGBTQ in the I, in the A.
That's right.
And it's getting to even some of us in the community going, what does that mean again? And
that's right.
I think sometimes, and I've seen it within Pride activities and functions, where someone will whisper and go, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? Or they're looking it up or Googling it.
Right. And we're trying to elevate those whispers is really what we're doing. We're looking, like, when you look at the scale of human experience, right? You know, people who identify as gay men went through an experience that oftentimes was challenging for them because of their environment and the ecosystem that they were raised in. But they don't necessarily understand the experience of what it is to be trans in the community, because that is a different experience. But, you know, within the community, within the LGBTQIA plus community, and a great example of how kind of the terminology is changing and adapting to some of this changing discussion around these topics is, when I grew up, the word queer was not a positive term.
Not at all. That was passed around.
Yeah. And now a large majority of the LGBTQIA plus community has taken back ownership of that word.
And I've certainly noticed that the younger generation, they own that term. And certainly in my generation and other generations, it was a very negative term. It was sometimes followed by a beer bottle or a rock.
That's right.
You know, after it was shouted. So of course, there's going to be some apprehension after decades of you know, running from that term or being literally some fear being struck into you, to see it used so freely today, it takes some re-education.
Right. Well, and it takes introspective thought, right? You have to look at why you have a bias towards certain terminology or certain words, or even, you know, at the that campaign wants to elevate against certain groups or individuals, and say to yourself, why do I have these feelings, right? Because that little voice in the back of your head or that gut reaction isn't necessarily the voice of truth. It's the voice of years and decades of experience of certain stereotypes being, you know, pushed into the conversation and the dialogue that really affects people's ability to come to terms with a lot of that. And some of our labels we wear, right?
Yep.
Some of our labels are internal that we have to express. And so we want to create an ecosystem and an environment around a quality-based action that says people should not have to feel embarrassed about coming out as a queer individual, right? We want to bring back, we want to elevate and escalate the conversation that's being had, so we fight that constant fight towards equality.
Let's talk a little bit about the mechanics. You had, of course, the reveal was at Worcester's Farewell to February on Friday, but prior to this, you did have a photo shoot. And kind of, I mean, there's been a lot of work. I've actually sat in on some of the committee meetings, and there's a lot of work people going on behind the scenes. This doesn't just magically appear. In the photo shoot, you're taking, let's explain, because of course this is radio, so we can't really hold something up and say, hey, but it is on Radio Pride. It is on, of course, the Facebook page, To Love Your Labels. Explain to us what you're doing with the labels and what are the mechanics behind it. First of all, are the labels predetermined that you choose from, or does everybody get to decide what label to use? And how many labels are you putting in with each photograph? So talk to me about the mechanics and about what it is that you're doing with the photographs.
Sure thing. So we hosted an event a couple weeks ago to bring together the community or multiple communities for this photo shoot. One of the things that's really powerful about these events that we are hosting is in this particular instance, there was a singular unifier that the majority of the 21 individuals who we had at the event were part of the LGBTQIA+ community. But the campaign is really powerful because it shows the intersectionality of who really exists in that community. You know, so within the queer community, we have Black people, we have Latino people, we have people with disabilities, we have people that are also parts of other underrepresented groups.
Sure, and I think this is the part that this campaign is going to get extremely interesting, because if you were to do this campaign and say, you know, we want engineers, we want homemakers, we want cooks, we want veterans.
That's right.
You know, we want school teachers. So I think that when you start to see the branching out of all these different labels that people are using, they're going to realize that there are a lot of people who are very much like them, but not very much like them in a lot of ways.
That's right. And we want to use this as the empower individuals component is really about education and inspiring particularly young people to say, wow, that could be me someday, or wow, I'm not alone in the universe, right? For people who grew up in communities where they weren't exposed to, you know, other gay people and understanding what that means when they're going through that, their own internal acceptance of that. If you don't have some of these terms to understand, you may feel like you're this microcosm of the universe and completely alone. So there is empowerment in labels, but the unfortunate part is historically people have stereotyped and used labels to oppress individuals, right? So the power in labels is there are these communities that you can be a part of, and they exist, and that's really what this campaign is trying to elevate and discuss. So to your point, engineers, CEOs, working class jobs, healthcare professionals, the span of the workforce is diverse, and it's growing in its diversity, and we want to encourage young Black girls that they can be whatever they want.
That's fantastic. I want to just take a break during a Radio Pride. What we do, Josh and everybody, is I like to make sure everybody knows what's going on in and around the community. And of course, March is right here, right around the corner, and we will be marching, meaning we, the LGBT community, and Worcester Pride has been invited back to St. Patrick's Day Parade. And this is fantastic because it is a parade by invitation. And the other little factoid that goes with that is actually the Worcester Pride Parade in September is really now the second largest parade in Worcester after St. Patrick's Day. I don't think it's a lofty goal to think we'll ever top the St. Patrick's Day parade, but
we'll
after all these years, it would be an awesome, awesome goal to strive for, but we are now the second largest parade in Worcester, and we're invited to the first largest, which is something that should be denoted because it is by invitation, and there was a time where Worcester Pride was not invited to it. So that's fantastic. And of course, Worcester Pride does have their meetings on the first and third Tuesdays of the month. The first Tuesday is always the business meeting, folks. And then the Teen Pride is on the third Tuesday of the month, and that's at 1 Salem Square, which is the YWCA, where everybody knows, near the library. And everybody's welcome to join and come on down at 6:30 for that. And so that's happening. So those are the things that are coming up over the next month. And of course, Air Spray is at the Electric K's, and it will be there on March 16th during this month coming up. So we like to let everybody know. And of course, you can go to WorcesterPride.org and look at the calendar, as well as RadioPride.net, to find out what is happening. All right, going back to the campaign, we're talking with Joshua Croak, who is the creative mind behind Love Your Labels campaign. Josh, what do you do for your normal real job every day?
Well, I wear a couple different hats, Joe. So I'm the executive director of a nonprofit organization called Action Worcester that's focused on community and economic development through civic innovation and engaging the resident and stakeholder population here in the city. I also run a brand design and experience design consulting firm called Origin Consulting here in the city.
So there's the connect with this is the connect to Love Your Labels. You are a creative guy that is in the branding marketing arena.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. All right.
So let's talk a little bit more about the mechanics of this. How many labels are people putting on to the pictures when they're taken?
So
and maybe we should explain that we take a picture, right? I don't think we need
to
touch
on
that.
Right, yeah, well, let me talk about that a little bit. So one of the things that's been really exciting during this campaign is we've created this this form, which actually listeners and others can go to our website at loveyourlabels.me and fill out our form to become a part of the community and become part of this project.
And anyone can be part of this.
That's correct.
Okay. So regardless of their sexuality, their race, their
100%.
Creative profession.
We want the largest data set possible so that we can start bringing a voice and really showing and visualizing the intersectionality between communities.
Sure.
So on our website, you know, you fill out the form, you fill out demographic information, age, gender, identity, race, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the census type information that you see on a lot of different forms. But then we're adding the labels component, and these are self-identified labels. And right now we're collecting 5 labels from individuals, but we're using 3 that on some of our campaign messaging and advertising materials.
So you're asked to put more than 3, but 3 will be used on the photo that's taken.
That's right.
So up to how many labels can you use to identify yourself?
So right now, we have the form that's up to 5. We're hoping to add, you know, just a repeat field. So if people want to add 15, that's great information. And it's great to show the diversity.
And I have to ask you this because I'm sure this is a question that people are, oh my goodness, you're collecting a lot of data. Is this data ever going to be sold? Is it ever going to be used for anything other than the campaign?
No, personal information we respect very significantly, especially understanding people's attachments and affiliations with their own identifiers.
Okay. And you understand why that's an important question, because in today's world, people are a little shy about sharing a lot because they don't know where it's going to end up. But if it's something that's going to be sold or shared, I think you'll get more of an honest participation.
That's right. And since we launched the website on Friday, we've received a number of inputs from forms being filled out by people, and people are sharing their stories. So we also have a section, you know, underneath your labels if you want to share more, if you want to share an experience about a negative experience about how labels have affected you, or a positive experience, or your journey to embracing your labels. There's a section there, and we're receiving some really powerful stories.
Well, and obviously, Radio Pride will do whatever we can to help with this. And, you know, we have set up a page on our site for people's stories, coming out stories or just general stories. And that's something that we're working actually with a couple organizations about doing. And maybe there might be some cross on that.
Fantastic.
But that would be great. So you said this was kind of percolating for all this time. And I mean, are we talking young Josh in junior high school, young Josh starting out at college. How long have you been thinking that, and when did it actually formulate to what it is?
Yeah, well, so when we unveiled the campaign, I shared a bit about my story and my background and growing up in a conservative Baptist household and navigating my sexuality in an environment that wasn't really supportive of that, and sharing my experience navigating through that. And so coming to terms with and embracing my own labels has something that's been a difficult journey for the majority of my life. But being exposed to and having conversations with fantastic people representing a variety of different communities really helps you come to terms with a lot of those struggles. And I want to help, and the campaign committee really wants to help, bring this message to people who wouldn't necessarily hear it. You know, kids growing up still in these microcosms where they might not see people and faces that are similar to theirs, and people who are living experiences that they want to live that they don't feel like they can participate in.
On that, let me ask you this. If there is a minor child, a younger person who wants to participate, are they able to participate? Do they need parental permission? Whereas photos, I'm assuming there's releases involved.
That's
or agreement
right.
on a site.
That's right. Parent or guardian permission is required for youth involvement as far as the imagery being associated and affiliated with the campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, there is an opportunity for anyone to fill out the forms online that aren't directly manifesting into kind of the face or advertising for the campaign, but they are able to share their stories and information with us.
So let me ask you, is there another session, like a photograph session, set up for this? And I do want to denote that Mike Hendrickson. He was the photographer on the first photo shoot that you did.
That's correct.
And I've seen some of the pictures. You have some of them with you, and of course they're online, and they're fantastic. So thank you very much, Mike. He did a great job.
Yeah, Mike has done a fantastic job at participating in this campaign, and people can find him on Facebook at Unity Mike.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, let me ask, what is the significance of the paint on the face, and is there a meaning to it?
Yes. So this first campaign, the paint was a unifying activity. It brought our community together. It allowed people to get to know each other. And, you know, earlier we talked about how some labels you wear and some labels you experience internally and then have to express to the world, right? And since this first shoot, the single unifier was the LGBT connection, that was a way for people to show consistency and unity within this first campaign, regardless of race, age, or creed, right? So the face paint was an activity that isn't necessarily going to be a part of every single photo shoot. But to your point, when's the next one? Mm-hmm. This is something that I'm excited to talk about. We're opening up this to the community, to any community, to say, if you're interested in hosting an event and photo shoot, please reach out to us. You know, we're starting to work with other communities that are quote unquote single identifier communities that have intersectionality and diversity that live underneath them. So we want to work with a veteran community. We want to work with other.
So any organization or even company could host this and have that commonality of maybe either the veterans or everybody works for the same company, what have you. It could be a PTA organization.
That's right.
Anything.
That's right.
And they could do this. And is it something that you would come in and show them? Is there a kit that you send? And the other thing is, because we do have, if you want to actually hold that up and just show that to the camera, because we have a couple of people do watching us on the Facebook. So
some of my notes on here. But.
So that's okay, but they can get the gist of it. So there you go. So again, if they want to do that, they reach out obviously through the Facebook page is the logical.
The website would be great. So we have a section specifically for if you're interested in hosting an event at loveyourlabels.me, and we're looking forward to engaging people in that conversation. And to your point, we are working on creating some materials around not only coming in and doing the photo shoot, but for companies specifically, how can we bring the education around this campaign
to your workforce and your
employee base.
When they want to do this, do you find yourself, or do you see yourself or agents involved with the campaign having to go to these organizations, the companies, social groups, and educate them first on, one, of course, how to do the shoot, but also to answer the questions and understand really more of the detail of the campaign.
Absolutely. Eliminating bias and racism mm-hmm. and stereotypes in our workspaces is extremely important, you know, and we're seeing that through a variety of movements such as the Black Lives Matter movement, the Me Too movement, and a lot of these different activities that are and you know, movements that have come up because of the challenges of bias and racism and stereotyping. So we want to create an educational system and platform where we can have that voice be heard in an employee base, as well as help companies facilitate a photo shoot to show the diversity and intersectionality that they have that you might not even know about. You know, you might be two cubicles down from someone who has a very similar story to you that yeah. you don't know, or someone with a very different story than you. And we are encouraging how to approach those types of conversations.
And before we have to leave for today, I want to point out that, you know, by the way, Josh, Worcester Pride did come up with our yearly motto and our logo for the year. So this year, Worcester Pride has embraced Pride Has No Limits. And it did come up with a logo, which I'll put up here so you can see it on the screen. But obviously, go to Worcester Pride and you'll see that. So Pride Has No Limits. That again, there were a lot of discussion. Curiosity. What's your first reaction when you hear Pride Has No Limits? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a term that's saying there's no limit to what we can do as a community or as communities. You know, I think that's an important thing to state. The LGBTQIA plus community is many communities underneath one umbrella. So I think that it shows that we are taking action. We are moving towards a quality-based action, and the Love Your Labels campaign is complementary to Pride this year because of that effort.
Sure. Now, the thing about it is, again, you're talking about up to 5 labels. Is there going to be a point, and this is curious, I'm curious, that you can actually put in a label or put your labels in and even change them around, because we all have probably more than 3 that applies to all of us,
right? Absolutely, absolutely.
Will it then branch out and tell you all these other people if they agree to have their, you know, their ID put out there? Can you actually do this eventually through geographical location, as well as just simply how many people are going to match up to, you know, gay, white,
right.
man, radio talk host?
Right.
I mean, how many can there be of us, right?
Absolutely.
Probably
and
more than
you may
think.
Be surprised. And yeah. you may be surprised. And so our campaign tagline is Unique and United. We're unique individuals standing behind a common voice for equality. And we do want to create these mapping systems to show and visualize that individuals are not alone in the universe, and that our communities are much more similar than we think.
Run through again one more time where we can find you on Facebook and online.
Yeah, so you can find us online at loveyourlabels.me and on Facebook at loveyourlabels and on Instagram at love.your.labels.
And should we start hashtagging loveyourlabels?
Use the hashtag unique united and tag us on Instagram and Facebook, and we're looking forward to engaging with everybody.
All right. You heard it here, folks. That's Josh Croak, who's the creative mind behind Love Your Labels. And Worcester Pride is very excited to be teamed up in doing this with you. All right. Radio Pride every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock here at 91.3 FM, WCUW, Worcester's community radio station. Find us online at radiopride.net and, of course, on social media platforms at Talking Pride. I'm Joe Mangiacotti. Until next week, take care of yourselves.